5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. Dr. Space himself, David Livingston, is here with me, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And we're headed to Roscosmos now and Roscosmos in the future, the most successful manned space program in the 20th and 21st century, now looking to change directions for the moon. However, the conflict in Europe and the general disagreements between governments has slowed or at least sidelined all the planning. Fortunately, Anatoly Zak is here. He keeps the Russian Space Web. This is a subscription site I highly recommend. It's password protected. And Anatoly gives us, in English, the expectations, the plans, and the work of Roscosmos. We begin with Lunar Gateway, which is a vision shared by several big space organizations, NASA prominently. And what is its mission? And what is Russia's part in it? What was Russia's part before the unhappiness? What could be Russia's part again in the future? Anatoly, a very good evening to you. What was Russia in the Lunar Gateway? What is it meant to accomplish if Russia comes back? Good evening.
Hello, John. During many years when NASA and its partners in the International Space Station program studied this project, essentially smaller version of the International Space Station, but not in the orbit around the Earth, but in orbit around the moon, which would serve as, as they call it, a gateway, because it would be gateway into deep space, and it would allow other spacecraft to dock to the station and go either to the lunar surface or even to the orbit of Mars and even beyond. So all the partners were participating initially in initial studies of this architecture. And Roscosmos was active in this, and it was offering a number of hardware pieces and number of contributions into this project. Lately, the most late contribution from Roscosmos was airlock module. So essentially, it's one piece of the station which was habitable. It was pressurized, and it would allow the crew to perform spacewalks from that space station in lunar orbit. However, again, the political situation, which was worsening between Russia and all other Western partners, led to the situation where Roscosmos was essentially excluded from this partnership. And it never signed official, when the time came to sign the documents, all other countries signed them, except Roscosmos, among those participants in the ISS project. And so cooperation was frozen from that point of time. And it obviously situation got even worse now, all the with the invasion of Ukraine in February. All cooperative projects, basically all significant projects, were frozen. So Roscosmos does not participate in any of the joint ventures. So now is only in case of the major political changes inside Russia and kind of realignment Russia once again, and if Russia rejoins this international community, then there is a scenario where Russian space industry might still come back and rejoin this project later. There are still some potential at technological level, engineering level, where Russians could contribute. Again, the human spaceflight in Russia still continues. They still have all the centers for development of this technology, for the flight control, basically all the infrastructure for human spaceflight they still have. And if, again, political climate allows, they probably will be interested to do this, because right now the only direction in human spaceflight which they can afford is a human space station, piloted space station in orbit around the Earth. That's the only which is feasible right now with the budget which they have inside the country. Of course, under more broad cooperation, if they include it into international cooperation, they can do more, because, of course, it will be only a contribution.
David, you have a question.
Anatoly, I read that they had a recent meeting, and Rogozin said that they would like to be part of the Gateway, but it's too U.S.-centric, and said that they needed to adhere to the ISS station agreement for cooperative decision-making, which the U.S. was not doing. And the U.S. replied that they could consider going back and working under the ISS agreement. And that's kind of where the two of them left it. Is that accurate information?
Yes, it is. It essentially, again, remember that you mentioned Rogozin, which is important, which
right.
who is no longer in charge of the Russian Space Agency, and actually for a number of months. So what we have situation now is that was official reason for Russia not joining this agreement. And I should actually, from my side, talking to technical people, yes, there is actual technical obstacle for Russian engineers to participate if they had to agree to these terms where everything, all the hardware will be built according to American standard. Because right now, International Space Station cooperation is not the case. Russian hardware is actually built according to the Russian standards, and some of the technology, for example, thermal control system, which is quite complicated, it operates according to the Russian standards. It's actually built according to the way the Russians were building previous systems for previous space stations, and it's kind of operates aboard the International Space Station separately. So for NASA, that approach did not work for the cislunar, for that lunar gateway. So they wanted single system, and they wanted Russian engineers to agree to this system, which meant that if Russians contribute hardware, they had to develop subsystems, which would be developed from scratch. They had to kind of throw away 50 years of experience, which they developed with the building space stations, and kind of start from scratch. And that was very serious, actually, technical problem. But having said that, let's put it this way. It was mostly political climate which made this more impossible than before. I think the engineers could find some kind of common ground, and maybe they could find some compromise. Some systems could be Russian built, some of them, they probably could negotiate something. But it was the political climate which created the situation where it was not possible to actually find the technical agreement, in my opinion. Again, it's my kind of speculation at this point. But that's what happened. And again, since then, Rogozin is gone at this point. There is now new management at the top of Roscosmos. Industry is still a kind of Russian industry is excluded from all prospective studies, from all the kind of forward-looking designs which NASA and all the partners in the International Space Station are doing at this point.
Looking to the future, Anatoly, you have a new piece at Russian Space Web about an Orel-based station transport and its planning stages. What is it that what role will it fill in the future when it's built?
Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned, Russians right now can only afford a new space station in orbit around the Earth. And that's their kind of strategy, main strategy after International Space Station is retired.
Right.
So in order to resupply that new orbital base, which they planned in the orbit around the Earth, they need a new transport system, because the Soyuz spacecraft and the Progress cargo ship, which they use to transport cargo and crew to the station, they're not very well suited. They're too small, essentially. They are not too well suited to fly into this new orbital parameters, which they plan for the new station. So they want new transport system. And the way they hope to resolve this issue is that they will build one spacecraft which will do both cargo and the crew in one vehicle. So essentially, every launch they do, they will launch the crew, and all the cargo will be on board with the vehicle which actually flies. Because now it's done separately. The Soyuz delivers the crew, and the Progress delivers propellant, food, water, and all other consumables which they need on the space station. So this vehicle, if they have enough money, of course, to develop it, that will do that task. Interestingly, that design, they are kind of very positive and they are very optimistic that they can do this project, is because they already developed spacecraft for the flights to this lunar orbit, which would be actually suitable for the Gateway. But now they can customize it for the flights in the orbit around the Earth. So this is kind of Earth orbit version of the lunar spacecraft, which they want to develop.
I see. And to my knowledge, NASA has nothing comparable. Is that correct, Anatol? Combined?
Well, in a sense, if you take a look at the Dragon spacecraft, remember that they launched now separately, very similar to Progress and Soyuz. They launched separately Dragon cargo and Dragon crew.
This is SpaceX.
For the SpaceX, that's the main vehicle now which resupplies the American segment of the International Space Station. So in this case, they're trying to combine these two vehicles. So it's kind of, in one sense, it's similar because there will be a returnable vehicle. There will be a kind of cargo trunk, you can call it. I think SpaceX calls it a cargo trunk. And they want to combine it into a single single aircraft.
So commercial space and Roscosmos are working for the future along the same lines. Anatol Lysak, he is the Russian Space Web, a subscription site. I highly recommend, because Roscosmos will be back in the game soon enough. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, and I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.